This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 23, "And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and to the hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled." Let us pray. Consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. In the name of Jesus we pray. Let everyone say amen. 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 Our message for this morning is so that my house can be filled. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, so the house can be filled. So the house can be filled. You know, many times you will hear the statement, I've heard it before, you've heard it before, that it seems like in some neighborhoods there is a church on every corner. There's a church on every corner. And often that statement is normally followed by, it is kind of ridiculous that all these churches on every corner. There's a church on that corner, there's a church on that corner. Why are there so many churches on every corner? It just seems kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? You know, that used to be my response, that yes, it does sound ridiculous, but when you really think about it, when you look at other venues, when you think about bars, and there's a bar in every corner, nobody really thinks that's ridiculous. When you look at beer stops, nobody thinks that it's ridiculous that a beer stop is on every corner. When you think about a drug dealer, nobody really thinks it's ridiculous that it's a drug dealer on every corner. So my question today is that why do we as the church think that it's ridiculous for a church to be on every corner? There's a statistic that was measured in Philadelphia. They said that if 20% of the entire population in Philadelphia would show up for church on one Sunday morning, that if every church was filled, there still would not be enough space for all, just 20% of the population in Philadelphia to fit into those churches. So what that says to us is that there's really not enough churches out there. The problem really comes to be is that we're not getting the house filled. The bars, they're filled. Matter of fact, if you go on Sunday morning, you might even find a bar filled somewhere else. If you go to a beer stop, they're filled. They're selling cheesesteaks and beer. If you go to a drug corner, you'll find that there's always somebody standing out on the drug corner. But for some reason, on Sunday morning, the house of God is not filled. Well, why is that? Why is not the house filled? Well, there's five things that we want to talk about today that are necessary for the house or the kingdom of God to be filled. Now, I want to clarify something today is that when I talk about the house being filled, I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about the universal kingdom of God, that what we have to do as a kingdom, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're listening to this message by some other menu, you have to understand that the kingdom of God is bigger than just our church here at Chosen 300. The big kingdom of God is bigger than Branch Creek, it's bigger than Enon, it's bigger than Zion, it's bigger than Upper Dublin, it's bigger than any church that is within the kingdom of God, that all of us are one unit under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And if I'm not happy just if my church is filled, I'm not happy because your church is not filled. I'm not happy because the church around the corner is not filled. It is important that we understand that it's necessary that the entire kingdom, the house of God, is filled every Sunday morning, that there's somebody coming to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. We have gotten to the point in churches where we've become a church that has just get to the point that we recycle Christians. You leave this church, you go to another church. And you leave that church and go to another church. You're just a recycled Christian. And we're getting Christians from each other's churches. But the reason why the kingdom of God exists is for the purpose of getting those that don't know Jesus to come into the kingdom of God so his house can be filled. The only way that we can get the house of God filled is that we get more people to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he was born of a virgin, that he did miracles on this earth, that he was crucified on the cross, he was buried in a tomb, and he rose again, and he's coming back. That is the only way that the house of God is going to be filled. Well, there's five things that as the church of Jesus Christ we must do in order for the house to be filled. The first thing is found in the first verse of the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. The first verse of the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. The text begins by saying that Jesus, being at one of the houses of the chief Pharisees, ate bread on the Sabbath day. And the first verse of the 14th chapter says that they watched him. They watched him. Listen very carefully. The scribes and Pharisees, he was at their house on the Sabbath day, and they watched him. The first thing that we must do in order for the house to be filled is that we have to have a firm commitment on the testimony that we believe. We have to have a firm commitment on the testimony that we believe. This past June, a couple months ago, we went to Virginia Beach, my wife and I, and we were sitting on the beach just enjoying the beach, and I had a wonderful vacation. But what I saw that day, there were some Amish people that had came out to swim. Some Amish people. They really reserved in their dress. They were in their black. The guys were in long pants, 90-degree weather, long pants, black pants, their suspenders, their normal attire that they always wear. And then they went into the ocean with what they had on. The ladies, they had their long dark dresses that they always wear, but they went into the ocean. And what really sparked me, a lot of people would look at them as weird. A lot of them would look at them as strange. But when you really think about it, they have such a commitment to not compromise their faith of what they believe and how they practice it, that they will not bend, even if it means going to the beach and looking strange to everybody else, because they have a commitment of their faith. Well, our faith in Jesus Christ, how we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, when people look at you, are you strong in the commitment that you have for Christ? Or do you bend when you get around certain people? When you're the community that you are around, the friends that you have, the associations that you have, the acquaintances that you have, when you get around to those people, do you compromise your faith simply so that you can fit in with the crowd? In order for us to have the house of God filled, we have to get to the point where we will not compromise our faith. It says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect and that good and acceptable will of God. What does God have for you? The plan of God is in his word, and the way that you ought to live is according to the word and not compromise with the situations that are around you. When you go around your friends that drink, do you say, well, let me get some of that so that you can compromise or be conformed to what they want you to do? Or are you a transformed believer that you will not compromise, but you will be committed to the testimony of your faith? Do you always help out the underdog, or you just want to go with who's popular? You have to understand it is necessary for us as a believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we do not compromise our faith, but we do live wholly after the will and word of God. And when people look at you, you have to understand that just like they watch Jesus, they're watching you. If you stand up here and say, you know what, I'm going to be baptized, and you take on that profession of faith, and you're baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and you come up and say, you know what, I am now a Christian, the first thing that people are going to do is to watch you. He says he's a Christian now. He says he's a believer. Let's see what he's going to do now. See, Jesus had went against the legalistic ways of the practices of faith, and he says that I'm not here for you, but I'm here to do what my Father has sent me to do. Now, as we continue in the second verse of this 14th chapter, It begins, it says, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. Now, the dropsy is the building of fluid to a degree that it deforms a person, and he had the dropsy. He has a building of fluid, and he needed to be healed. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, now remember, this is the Sabbath day. This is the Sabbath day. But this is what he says to the Pharisees and the lawyers. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox that has fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. The second thing, the first thing that we need to do is to have a firm commitment of our testimony. The second thing that we need to do is that we cannot take a legalistic approach to ministry. We cannot take a legalistic approach to ministry. You know, I love Chosen 300 Ministries. I love being able to get up here in just a nice shirt, you know, a pair of slacks. I can even get up here in jeans and sneakers and won't nobody care. I love this kind of ministry. I love the idea that you can come here dressed as you are and really does nobody care about what you have on. We're just happy to have you here. We're just glad that you came to church. We have gotten to the point in many churches that we have become so legalistic. You have to wear a tie. You have to wear a suit. You have to wear white on this day. You have to wear black on this day. You have to do this. You have to do that. But when are we going to get to the point that we just invite people to come in? When are we going to get to the point as the universal church that we just tell people to come? Don't come with a certain criteria. Don't come with your W-2. Don't come with a certain status. Don't come with a position or a title, but just come. And that's what we ought to do as the universal church, inviting people to just come. Come as you are. Come and be changed. Come and be healed. Come and be delivered. Come and be set free. Our message to the world is not come with criteria, but just to come. Come unto Jesus just as you are. Jesus will fix you up. Jesus will change your life. But let people come. A lot of times in churches we say, well, don't come in with your pants hanging down. I say come in with your pants hanging down, because once the gospel gets in you, the pants will come up. Come on in with a twitch, because once you come in with a twitch, once the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you won't have a twitch, you'll have a stroll, because God will change your life. You have to understand that we don't have to set criteria of how people come in the door. We just have to bid them to come. And not have a legalistic approach to ministry. Stop telling people you can't be healed on this day. You can, because it's the Sabbath. No, regardless of whether it's the Sabbath, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Jesus came that you might be healed, and your deliverance is not tomorrow. Your deliverance is today. Today, today is your day of salvation. Today is your day to be set free. Today is your day to be changed. And God invited you to come today so that you can be changed. Stop having a legalistic approach to ministry. There's five things that we must do as the universal church in order for people to come so that the house can be filled. The first is that we have a firm commitment with our testimony. The second is that we cannot have a legalistic approach to ministry. The third thing is found in the 7th through the 11th verses of the 14th chapter. Let's read them. It says, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. And when he had marked how they chose the chief room, saying, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit down the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he bade thee and him to come and say to thee, give this man place. And thou being with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's explain what is happening here. There's many times when you go into a traditional church, this is not your traditional church, but if you go into a church, many times a preacher will just walk up to the pulpit and they want to sit on the pulpit because they reverend so-and-so. And many times they will be excused because a pastor will walk in and they will say, you know what, I need this seat for somebody else. And they'll be passed down to sit with the deacons or something. Now, what has happened is that this person has really brought shame on themselves because of the fact that they have exalted themselves and now they have been pushed down. But on the other hand, if that person just sat in the congregation and they took a humble seat and they were welcomed up, then they received worship in the eyes of those who had brought them up and had meat with them. Are you getting this? Now, what the scripture is really telling us here is that in order for the house to be filled, us as believers have to take a sign or a way, a light, live a life of humility in order for people to come to Jesus. We cannot live a life that is exalting ourselves, but we have to allow God to exalt us. The scripture says here in that very last verse of that portion of text, of verse 11, it says, "For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted." In order for people to come to Christ, we have to have a humble approach to ministry. We have to have a humble approach to ministry. You'll find many times that I'll say, don't call me Rev this. Don't call me Rev that. Just call me Brian. Or if you really have to give me a title, I'll tell you to call me Brother Brian. Many of you out of relationship call me pastor, but that is a relationship thing, not a title. But we really try to stray away from titles in this church because of the fact that I'm just as important as you are, and you're important as I am. There's nobody bigger than anybody else. The only one that's bigger than all of us is God. Now, we have different roles. God has given me the authority to preach, to lead, and all those things. But on the same token, your job is just as important as my job. The reason why we're here is that we have to take a humble approach to giving the gospel of Jesus Christ, to let people know that it doesn't matter where you come from, who you are, all of us were ex-somethings. You might not have been in jail, but you was ex-something before God exed that out of your life and made you what you are. And you have to understand that you were brought from a mighty long way, and if God brought you from a mighty long way, he can bring the other person that's outside of that door a mighty long way. But we have to take a humble approach to ministry and let people know that, yes, I was once a wreck. I was once messed up, but God changed my life. And if he changed my life, he can change your life too. And you're just as important to God as I am. And you're so important that God created you and gave you life. And if you just come into the kingdom of God, your life can be changed. There's five things that we're talking about this morning that in order for the house to be filled, again, the first one is that we have to have a firm commitment of our testimony. The second is that we cannot take a legalistic approach to ministry. The third is that we have to have a humble approach to ministry. The fourth one is found in Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 12 to 14. It says, "Then he said he also to them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner for supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest also bid thee again, and a recompense be made of thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, call the maimed, call the lame, call the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." What is this saying? What is it saying? Our fourth thing that we have to do in order for the house to be filled is don't invite people to church simply because they can be a benefit to your church. However you're listening to this message today, I want you to understand the reason why we are here to share the gospel is not so people can benefit our church, it's so that we can benefit people. This is what was occurring during this time, is that people that were invited into the synagogue, people that were invited into great places, were people that had something. And the reason why they were being invited was simply so that they can provide recompense, or they can provide something for the house of God. A lot of times we invite people that are doctors, that are lawyers, that have this, that have that. And the reason why we're inviting them is simply so that the fact that maybe when they give their tithes, we can have more money. But Christ is saying, don't invite people just for the purpose of getting something. Invite people simply so that they can come in. Invite people so that their lives can be changed. And if you really want to do this thing right, invite people that can't repay you anything. Invite people that are poor, that are lame, that are blind, that are going through difficulty. Invite them to come. Because your reward is at the resurrection when you go before God in his throne. He says, what have you done for me lately? That you have invited the poor, you have invited the naked, those that needed help. That's what the churches ought to be about, and that's what this church is about. It's not inviting people with big names. It's not inviting people with great stature. It's inviting people that simply need to be changed. It's inviting people that God wants to have an impact on your life. And the reason why God created this ministry is because you were so special to him. The reason why that God made the church is because he needed people that wanted to be changed. Not people that could get something back, something that could be, people that could receive something by the power of God. There's five things. That was the fourth thing. Don't invite people simply because they can benefit your church. The fifth thing is found in our key text, is found in verse 23. And the Lord said unto his servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The fifth thing that we have to do in order for the house to be filled is that we have to take extraordinary steps for his house to be filled. We have to take extraordinary steps. Well, what are extraordinary steps? When you read that portion of the text, you will find that there was a certain man that had a dinner, had a great feast. And he said, go out and invite everybody to come. And nobody came. So then he went out to get the poor, the lame, the disadvantaged. He got told all of them to come. But after even he invited them, the house was still not full. I'm looking here today and I see 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 or 10 empty seats, which is wonderful. We have a lot of people here, but there's still room. There's room next to you. There's room next to you. There's room. There's places for people to sit. Well, what do we do about that? What do we do about that? He says to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come. That doesn't mean just go out and give a normal invitation. You convince them. You do everything that you can to get them to the house of God. It is the responsibility of every single person that is here today to make sure that somebody comes to the house of God for simply one purpose, so the house can be filled, so that every church in the kingdom of God can be filled, because you as a believer said, I'm going out that door and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Now listen to this very carefully. We started out by saying, it's not so just this house can be filled, it's so that every house can be filled. You might be on the other side of the country one day. It's not practical for somebody to fly from California to here to come to church. It doesn't make sense. But even when you are in California, whether you're in Virginia, Florida, wherever you are, you ought to tell somebody that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And you need to make sure that you go to church. Make sure you find a church that they can get to. And the reason why is so that the house can be filled. Not that it's just church, but every church. So everywhere you go, you ought to make sure that you tell somebody about Jesus so their lives can be changed, so that the house can be filled. We have to stop thinking from a small church mentality to a kingdom mentality, where we understand that the purpose of the kingdom of God is share the gospel with everyone. Don't just share it with black people, but share it with white people. Don't just share it with white people, share it with Hispanics, Asians, Indians, chiefs. Everybody needs the gospel of Jesus Christ, and invite everybody to come. And the reason why we do this is so that the house can be filled. There's no other reason why we're here but to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, and so that we can learn about the power of God's resurrection and how it changes our life, so that the house can be filled. That is the message for today, so that the house can be filled.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world, to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.